Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is another weekly podcast. This is season 5, episode 15, and my wonderful co-host, Dawn, is away, so please keep her and her family in your prayers. And as always, we want to thank you for taking the time out to support this podcast. We thank you for your prayers and whatever comments you may have. Please contact us via WhatsApp, 954-388-8780. And today we have Pastor number 2 back. Welcome, Pastor Acosta.
Hello, Jay Wald. I hope that Pastor number 2 is not a double meaning, right?
No, it's not.
Good to be here, man.
Yeah, good for clarification, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, right? You know, listeners.
I understood, brother. Well, I want to thank you once again for taking the time for coming for this past communion we had. Before we get started, I want to thank Pastor Nugent for filling in for the first sermon he spoke about at the table. And we want to thank him for that. We also want to thank the baptism candidates, Rose, the brother and sister of Jeremiah, and Rachel. And that was a tearjerker. I really enjoyed that baptism. It was wonderful to see. And I also want to thank the deacon and deaconess for doing a fine job. Of course, that includes me, doing a wonderful job during the communion as well, you know, as we serve God the way it should be. As we always do, to start off with a word of prayer, we'll be underway. Father God, thank you once again for all you've done. Lord, we are not worthy. Thank you for just loving us, Lord, unconditionally, Lord. You showed us in so many ways, Lord. Let us continue to have a mind of communion, the togetherness that you taught us and what we need to have. Continue to bless Plantation Church, our pastor, our deacons, our elders, everyone that's in that church, Lord, that they will continue to be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit to complete your mission. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Your title, it says, why communion?
Right. The problem was, and this is a good story for the listeners to know, that morning, normally Pastor Rose speaks for communion. And it just so happened that his car broke down that day on the way to church. And so he called me and you're up. And the problem is I get stuck in traffic on the way there and we're running behind and I'm like, oh boy. And thankfully the Lord, I'm telling you, the Lord really provides in these special ways. Pastor Nugent just happened to be there and he was like, no, don't worry, I can do it. So he did it. And thankfully I got to church on time. But by the time I got there, Pastor Nugent was like, hey, don't worry, I have it. But you know what? The way I saw it was if God put him there for a reason, it's because he had something to say. So, you know, I let him speak and he did a phenomenal job. But of course, the problem still stands that I need to speak for second service because Pastor Nugent had to leave after first service. Yes. So I was like, oh boy. And so I thought, you know, this is a good opportunity to kind of cover what the meaning of communion is and why we do it. Because there's plenty of people in church that, you know, even longtime Adventists who can't tell you why we do communion and what it means. So I thought, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I was starting to laugh when you talked about the crackers. You know, I actually had that same feeling. I didn't know where they came from.
Yeah.
For that. And then of course the wine, you know, but I grew up in a Baptist church and I guess, like I said, I didn't understand the correct meaning of it at first because I'm thinking, you know, Mom, here we're just having some bread and some water or juice. And of course, there's much, much more than that, much, much more than that. But you mentioned about, okay, we know it's a representation of the body. You spoke about this in, First Corinthians 11, 23 and 26. Yep. Can you speak about that?
Yes. So communion is, well, the body part was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Right.
And he's talking about idolatry in that context. But he uses communion as an example, and he says something interesting about it. He says, because we all take communion, and that when we eat that bread, it's supposed to represent the body of Christ. Doing that action, is that not part of making us one body in Christ? Mm-hmm. And so I think that gives us an important idea of what communion is about, because it's not just about the bread and the wine.
Yes.
It's not just about the symbol of Jesus, Jesus dying for us. It's not just about that. It's also about the togetherness of being in the body of Christ. Because Jesus' body was broken, we are able to be one body. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of it. And so what is the point of taking communion and doing these rituals if we are not taking this opportunity to speak with one another, to love one another, to support one another, to be a community, not just with each other, but with the world as well? And that's what communion is getting at. It's supposed to be a representation of what we're going to do in heaven.
Yes, yes. The big feast.
Precisely.
Yes, I understand. Let me ask you something. Why do some people sometimes skip communion, even though they're there?
I think that there's an idea. Mm-hmm. There could be an idea that maybe they're unworthy. I've met people who felt that way. Maybe they just didn't feel worthy, or maybe it's people that are not exactly sold on the whole Christianity thing yet. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to partake in a ritual of Christianity if they don't believe in it. There's probably those people who just feel uncomfortable, taking, this grape juice and bread and saying, this is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And to some people that can feel too culty, or just too strange.
Yeah.
And they just feel more comfortable not partaking in that. I guess that those would be my main reasons.
I understand. I notice sometimes that some people, they give the option, of course, Plantation does that. They give the option to sit in a church sanctuary and reflect, that then hopefully that maybe they will take that step, eventually.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like I say, it's almost like a mini baptism once all over again.
Yeah. And it is important. Like while it is something that is symbolic, it's mm-hmm. important because when Jesus died, he said to do it in remembrance of him. So it's actually one of the few ordinances that Jesus gave us to do after he died. There's baptism mm-hmm. and there's communion.
Yes.
And I guess marriage, you can count marriage, but
yeah.
Yeah. Baptism yeah. and communion. Mm-hmm. It's one of two. Yeah. And so that's why it's so important to keep doing, because Jesus said to do it.
He did. He did. So that was something that it's a mandate that we should do, as he said. So totally.
And I wish I had had more time to explain this part, but I think I should explain it here. So that way.
Sure.
A little extra more juice, right? But while the communion itself does not have any saving power, taking communion will not magically do things to you. Okay. We do not believe that. The communion is a lot like the Passover feast. As a matter of fact, Passover is what Jesus was celebrating when he installed communion.
Yes.
So I believe that there is a relation between those two rituals because of that. And of course, we know that the Passover is a celebration of when the angel of death passed over the houses of the Israelites.
Yes.
And I think that's symbolic for us too, because communion is a celebration of when the angel of death passes over our houses because the Lamb of God was sacrificed. And what's beautiful about the Passover feast, which we're doing, by the way, at Plantation. So anybody who would like to go, I think you can register for that. Spaces are limited though, but you can register.
Right.
the beauty of the Passover feast is that it's meant as a learning tool. A lot of times people believe that tradition is such a bad thing, but it's really not. The beauty of tradition is that it's used as a learning tool. The purpose of Passover was to teach the younger generation about the history of the Israelites. And in the same way, that's what communion is so great. We lose a lot of our power when we do communion and we don't explain why we do it. Because the whole point of communion is to explain, we are doing this in remembrance of that sacrifice that Jesus made for us so that all of us can be together in the body of Christ. That is what we have to do every single time because that's the learning tool. So that's why it's so important to do communion. And it's not just because we want to. It wasn't an arbitrary decision that Jesus made. It's because it's a learning tool that lasts throughout generations.
Well, Pastor, I wanted to ask you, how are things with the life groups doing?
They're going well. We have a couple of groups already kind of doing what we said, but the next step is to get the elders and mission council to go through the training. So that's our big hope. Okay. I was talking with James actually this week about deciding whether or not to take the elders and mission council leaders to the training in Fort Myers.
Okay.
Or to have them come down to us. And I know that a lot of people, if I give the option like that, they're going to say, no, I'll bring them down to us. Mm-hmm. But that's because it's more convenient. But the reality is that the process of going up there and being in their church and taking those few days away from everything actually increases the power of that experience. And believe me, you guys are not alone. When I took the first group, it was the same thought. Everybody in the group was like, do we really have to go? Can we bring them down? Blah, 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 blah. And when they went and they came back, they were like, oh man, everybody has to do it. It's amazing. Everybody has to do it. They have to give it a shot. You know, it's just one of those things. It's how it works. Mm-hmm. Even though it can be a little inconvenient from our daily lives, I think taking that time as a retreat to think about what God is calling you to do and to bond with your other leaders and all that can be so impactful for the way that we do church ministry. And that's why it's worth doing in the long run, because you spent 1 week in a way, but you gained a lifetime of powerful leadership. So it's worth doing, in my opinion. So that's what James and I are working on right now, trying to see when the next training can happen. After, for sure, once all the leaders are trained, then we're going to do one more where they're going to come down to us. And that one I'm going to open up to everyone in the church, whoever wants to come.
Okay.
And then after that, I'm certain that people are going to be so fired up. I'm telling you, after the first go around, people were already super fired up. So we really want this to catch on in our church, you know?
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, I'm sure that that with the Holy Spirit and that will make it come to fruition. So we continue to pray for that. And continue to pray for the church to continue reaching out and doing what was our church motto is for this 2024. So, Pastor, I want to thank you for taking the time. I appreciate you. As always, continue to be doing what you've been doing, what you've been blessed to do, because you're doing a wonderful job at Plantation. And thank you for your leadership.
Yes. I want to thank all of you guys because you guys have been extremely supportive. You guys are such a fantastic church, and I don't think you guys hear that enough. So there you go. Thank you, guys.
Well, all right. I do appreciate hearing that. Thank you so much. All right, Pastor, if you lead us out, we would appreciate it.
Yeah. Lord, because of your goodness and your wisdom in installing such a ritual as Passover. I'm thankful because you knew that years later, people would attach themselves to this tradition and your story would still be told to this day. And so I ask that you continue to work in Plantation Church and in the lives of anyone who's listening to this podcast or might ever listen to this podcast. and that you continue to remind them of the wonderful sacrifice that you made for them, and how that should encourage them not only to live a life fulfilling and, you know, your purpose and your will, but also a life that shows love and mercy and kindness to the people around them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate you. And one last word, we need to live the life of communion and togetherness as a family. Thank you. You have a blessed week, my pastor. I'll talk with you, God willing, soon.
See ya.